what's on tap today?
Working, we'll kick off with Africa soccer.
All right, go
Thank you very much.
Okay, go ahead.
The World Soccer Governing Body, FIFA, has lost yet another big sponsor. Sony Corporation, the Japanese electronics maker, will reportedly not renew its sponsorship contract with FIFA. Such a move would follow Emirates Airlines' announcement this month that was ending its sponsorship of FIFA. The loss of sponsorship comes as FIFA investigates whether there was corruption in the bidding process for the next two World Cup competitions. Sony has been a FIFA sponsor for 8 years in a contract worth $280 million. Reuters reports that Sony cited the structuring priorities in taking the decision. The existing contract between FIFA and Sony runs until December 31st of this year. Sponsors have put pressure on FIFA to respond robustly to allegations of bribery to secure the 2018 World Cup for Russia and the 2022 tournament to Qatar. Earlier this month, a FIFA's ethics judge, Hans-Joachim Eckert, said in a statement, there was no grounds to reopen the controversial bidding process, clearing Qatar and Russia of wrongdoing. In African football, South Africa was one of only four teams that qualified for the Africa Cup of Nations without losing a single match. Most analysts give credit to the Bafana coach, Ephraim Mashaba. My colleague Sunny Young reached our football guru, David Legg, in Johannesburg, South Africa, to talk more about this and a lot more. Here is Sunny.
David, I have to believe this Nations Cup qualifying campaign did a lot to boost the stature of one Ephraim Sheikhs Mashaba there in South Africa. As I look at the table, Bafana, one of only four teams to not lose a match in this Africa Cup of Nations qualifying campaign, the three others being Tunisia, Cameroon, and Gabon. Your thoughts on Mashaba and what he's done with Bafana, David?
Sonny, in a word, amazing. He took over, ironically, one of his challengers for the job was Stephen Keshi. Stephen Keshi had put his name into the hat to take over the team known as Bafana, which means the boys. And there were very mixed feelings when Mashaba was appointed. Some felt he would be out of his depth, but others felt he had this good rapport with the players. He understood the players. And more importantly, Sonny, and I think this has been borne out in the qualifying competition, he's not dazzled by the bright lights of the big clubs. In South Africa, three clubs really stand out. They are Kaizer Chiefs, Orlando Pirates, they're the traditional Soweto Giants. And then you've got Mamelodi Sundowns, who are based in a Pretoria township, and they're also a very strong club. And previous coaches seemed to be almost in awe of these clubs, and they had to pick players from them. But Mashaba was having none of that, and he also picked players who sometimes were not even regulars with their club sides. An amazing man, really, in many ways. He used to sell peanuts on trains running between Johannesburg and Soweto to make a living. And he's gradually built up this reputation of being a very strong-willed man. He has been in charge of Bafana before, but he fell out with officials. And now he's basically seen as a messiah here in South Africa. When you think that South Africans were disappointed that the national team did not win in Nigeria after taking that two-goal lead, that tells you how far South African football has come under Mashaba. And it's not as if he has some magic wand or he's the greatest tactician in the world. I think it's all in the mind, Sonny. He's a tremendous motivator, and he's the sort of coach who will make a diminutive player believe he's 6'4" tall. He has this amazing ability. And the other thing, he's worked with the young sides. He's worked with the under-17s, and he's worked with the under-20s. And he's pushed some of those players forward into the squad. And I think that's been a big weakness of, for example, Gordon Eggerson, who was the previous coach. I think he had little or no knowledge of what was happening sort of beneath the surface down there in the countryside at under 17 and under 20 levels. And I think there's also a lesson there for the future for South Africa. You know, we Africans, we're always asking the questions, well, why are the Europeans and the South Americans always winning the World Cup? Why are the Germans so strong? Because they build up slowly but surely. Often you find, take Germany, an example. You'll have the national coach of the under-17s. He's promoted to the under-20s, to the under-23s, and then to the senior team. And also, when Germany did not do particularly well in some competitions, I mean, for the Germans, just getting to the semi-finals is considered to be almost failure. They didn't ditch Joachim Löw. They kept faith in him. And we saw what happened in Brazil. Can we ever, ever forget that semi-final against Brazil, that 7-1 victory, and then the final against Argentina? But, you know, to go back to a point I made earlier, Sonny, about another country, Nigeria, the momentum built up from the last Nations Cup and then the World Cup is now going to be lost when this presumably new coach comes in. So hopefully this will not happen in South Africa. Mashaba has got a contract to the World Cup in Russia in 2018. And South Africans are in awe of this man. He's a very humble, down-to-earth person. When he's driving into training, as I witnessed the other day in Soweto, a lot of the newfound fans of the national football team, they wanted selfies with the coach. And he didn't brush them aside, as some other coaches would have done in the past. He very patiently and religiously went through the motions so that everybody got their selfie with Sheikh Mashaba. And, of course, Sonny, the headline writers in newspapers are having a field day, you know. Sheikhs this and Sheikhs that, shaking up the squad. but what's absolutely amazing about this campaign is the away form of the South Africans. The South Africans traditionally have been pretty competitive at home, even against their nemesis, Nigeria. But on the road, they've been atrocious at times. Now, they go to Sudan and win 3-0. They go to Congo, Brazzaville, and they win 2-0. And they go to Nigeria, they lead 2-0. They have a player sent off, and they still come away with a very credible 2-0 draw. Yeah, Sonny, that is progress indeed. It's going to be really interesting now, this Nations Cup, because I've been looking at the field, Sonny, and as you correctly said, 9 former champions, 4 former runners-up. And the other 3 countries, that's Cape Verde, Gabon, and Equatorial Guinea, they've all reached the quarterfinals. So it's a star-studded lineup. And also, I think it's extremely difficult. Here we are, 2 months basically before the tournament takes off. No team jumps out, Sonny, as an obvious favorite. I know Algeria will have their supporters. A lot of people will probably feel it's time for Ghana to finally make it. But as I look at the field, Sonny, it looks extremely competitive. I would hazard a guess that there probably are up to 8 potential champions from that field of 16. The only thing I do know for certain ahead of this tournament is Ivory Coast, who in the last 5 tournaments were the clear favorites to win. It was always a question of who would finish second. But this time you cannot, under any circumstance, make Ivory Coast the favorites. They're going to be actually among the underdogs.
That was our football guru, David Legg, in Johannesburg, South Africa, speaking with my colleague, Sunny Young.
The best footballers must have dedication and teamwork. And to end malaria, we need this same unity. Malaria stops footballers from scoring and children from learning. Join with footballer Didier Drogba.
Malaria is preventable and treatable.
Join with leaders like President Kikwete.
United, we can beat malaria.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports right here on the English service of the Voice of America. Now let's join Daybreak Africa's sportsman, Mark Ouma, in Johannesburg, South Africa, for more sports news.
We begin with football. The Council of Southern Africa Football Association's COSAFA has declined the Royal Morocco Football Federation's invitation to the opening match at the FIFA Club World Cup in the Moroccan capital Rabat next month, COSAFA disclosed in Johannesburg, South Africa, on Monday. COSAFA brings together the National Football Associations of Angola, Botswana, Comoro Islands, Lesotho, Madagascar, Malawi, Mauritius, Mozambique, and Namibia, Seychelles, South Africa, Swaziland, Zambia, and Zimbabwe. COSAFA's action could mark the start of an African backlash against Morocco for withdrawing from hosting the 2015 Orange Africa Cup of Nations scheduled to kick off on the 17th of January, claiming it is to prevent the spread of the Ebola disease to Morocco. The Moroccans are keen to stage the FIFA Club World Cup next month. Apart from Morocco's Maghreb Tetouan and Algeria's newly crowned Orange Africa Champions League title holder Sentensitif, the other five teams in the contest come from outside Africa. Yet 13 of the 16 teams set to play in the Nations Cup hail from sub-Saharan Africa. COSAFA pledged its full support to the Global Watch campaign, whose clarion call is no to racism and discrimination in sports. In cycling, 20-year-old Valine Ndayisenga won the Tour of Rwanda in the Rwanda capital Kigali over the weekend. He's the first Rwandese cyclist to win the Tour of Rwanda since the inception of the annual week-long cycling contest in 2009. Rwanda's Jean Bosco Nsengimana was second ahead of Eritrean Aaron Debretsion. Finally, World Championship 5,000-meter silver medalist Mercy Cherono and Doris Chengeiwo clinched a Kenyan 1-2 triumph in the women's race at the IWF cross-country permit meet in Soria, Spain on Sunday. Uganda's Timothy Toroitich prevailed in the men's race. Eritrean Tekle Mariam Mehdim was runner-up ahead of Kenyan Emmanuel Bett.
And that report by Daybreak Africa's sportsman Marco Uma in Johannesburg, South Africa, brings us to the end of tonight's edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. I'm Douglas Impuga. Now back to you, Kim.
Okay, thank you, Douglas. And listen to the Sunny Side of Sports Monday through Friday at 1631 UTC and 1831 UTC. And on Fridays, Douglas will have an expanded half-hour edition of the Sunny Side of Sports at 1730 hours UTC right here on the Voice of America.
Coming up, we ask, is what happened in Burkina Faso the African version?